All right, Kevin Barker. Well, the Toronto Blue Jays 5-0 losers to the New York Mets in Mets opener. We spent a great deal of time on Blair and Barker right before the game, talking about Kevin Gausman, and you talked about the pitch he's been working on. Today, you know, the splitter, didn't get many swings and misses with it today.
One.
Didn't get any strikeouts today. Did retire, 14 in a row at one point until he gave up a leadoff walk to Francisco Lindor in the sixth inning. Then John Schneider went to Mason Fluharty. Now, there's a lot to talk about in this game. We're going to go right to Jays manager John Schneider.
You know, a couple of days of rest, and I think we can use him accordingly. I think if it was a different part of the game, Barnsley had a little bit of a lower pitch count, he could have finished it. But I think, you know, it was a good inning of work from him.
With Gausman, what was the difference between the first inning and then the rest of the
game? Weird, no strikeouts. I thought he had good stuff all day. I thought the pitch to Pete was not bad at all, you know, almost off the plate and down. And I think, you know, he kind of cruised after that a little bit. So the lack of strikeouts was a little bit weird. But I thought Kev had good stuff all day. And I don't think their plan changed much. Just got clipped in the first inning.
John, any theory on the strikeouts, or is that just a strange one?
To me, that's a strange one, you know. Kind of like their lineup with a lot of righties in as opposed to lefties. So, yeah, kind of just a strange one. Usually when he has stuff like that, he's getting some punch-outs. Only thing I can think of is didn't get the heater to the top quite as consistently as he normally does, but kind of a weird one.
John, that you mentioned that home run by Pete on a pretty good pitch. A couple days ago against Fair, you guys got some, you know, good turnarounds and tough pitches and got the good results. Like, for how do you kind of reflect on that being baseball in that spot where sometimes you make a good pitch and get a bad result?
Yeah, I mean, it happens. You know, I think especially against Kev, I mean, you know, no one's, I don't know if they're looking down and away off the plate like that, but Pete's a good hitter, strong dude, and, you know, sometimes it was a little windy out there today, but a couple balls did some weird things out there today, but didn't think off the bat that was going to go where it did.
There you go, John Schneider out in a hurry to get dinner in New York. Don't blame him.
Hi. There you go.
After that particular performance by his team. The numbers, as always, to call 416-413-3959. Leave us a voice note. Name and location, please. The text line is 590-590. Again, name and location, standard data, and message rates may apply. The Jays 5-0 losers to the New York Mets in the first of a 3-game series. So as we were talking about before John Schneider came out, Kevin Gausman gives up a leadoff walk to Francisco Lindor in the sixth inning. Mason Fluharty comes in, gives up a double to Juan Soto, intentionally walks Pete Alonso, who'd homered earlier in the game, then gives up a double to Brandon Nimmo. I mean, that's the ball game right there. You surprised that he took Kevin Gausman out?
No, I'm surprised that the team that's got a $240 million payroll brings in a lefty that named Mason Fluharty. I don't want to be mean about that, but, I mean, that's reality. Like, is Mason Fluharty a big leaguer? Like, that's who you're bringing in late in the game, down 2-0 on the road against the Mets, against their best hitter who's left-handed. That for me, I mean, everybody should be used to the starting pitcher coming out third time around facing their best hitter. That's not a surprise. It's just a surprise who they're bringing in.
All right, we're joined by our friends on Sportsnet. Let's go to Kevin Gausman, the starting pitcher of the Jays.
Yeah.
Did the Alonso homer surprise you, given the location of that pitch?
Yeah, I mean, at the time, I just kind of, you know, tipped my cap to him, you know, after kind of seeing the replay. You know, not a great swing, you know, but he's a strong guy, and, you know, a home run's a home run. But, yeah, I mean, you know, with a guy like him, you never really know because he's so strong, and so you kind of lean on the side of, you know, him just being really good. And, yeah, watching it back, I mean, I thought a really good pitch. You know, I thought I beat him. And but, man, like I said, a homer's a homer. So what are you going to do?
Was there anything in their approach that you want to look for them and sort of take to with your next card in terms of maybe something you didn't expect or something they were doing that you might want to try to counter if someone else tries on that piece?
you know, honestly, every team's different. Every team's going to have a different approach. It's kind of about figuring that out in the first two innings. And so, you know, more than anything, just kind of get back to pounding the zone. And, you know, I only get my swing and misses when I'm ahead in the in the count. And that's when they're going to chase the split more often. So, you know, when I'm behind the count, they're not going to do that.
Kev, you did get Soto a couple times today. When a guy has had some success against you in the past, do you try to lean into what you're good at, or do you try to really switch it up on him? What's your approach there?
You know, with him, I just kind of go with my strengths. You know, I'm going to pitch up and throw splits down, and it worked today. You know, it doesn't always work against him. You know, he's, like I said, he's one of the best in the world. So you definitely try to do some different things, but you know, I'm not the guy that does that.
All right, Kevin Gausman, talking about the home run that Pete Alonso hit off in the first inning, which was, I mean, that was a good pitch.
Yeah.
It was a great swing. I mean, that was a great power hitter.
Yeah,
a home run off
that's
a pitch.
It's a big league home run hitter who does not think he has to pull everything. And you can let any pitch in any count travel because you can go line to line. I mean, that's big league hitting. And Kevin said it there. He made a good pitch and dude beat him. That's what happens in the big leagues. That's why you bring guys back. When you're in World Series, who can hit homers? Homers are hard to come by. I mean, we watch a team every day who's having trouble doing them. So, yeah, I mean, that's sort of, again, I just don't know where the split finger's at. Do you have any idea, Jeff? Like, it's puzzling. I don't know.
He threw a lot of sliders today. He got one whiff on the split finger. You know, with all due respect to Kevin Gausman, it looked like they knew it was coming. Like, they weren't.
Francisco
Lindor literally did not flinch during that at-bat.
No.
Like, he did not flinch.
I'm sure counts matter big time when, for whatever reason, they're spitting on one of your really good split fingers. But do you see Fanny out, weird swing out in front, rolling over one to Vladdy? When's the last time you saw that? When's the last time you saw somebody take a weird swing in a, you know, a hitter's count against the split finger that he throws? It's very odd that happens. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't just know how you're going to have a season that everybody wants Kevin to have unless he figures that out and starts getting a few more swing and misses. You mentioned it. 25 split fingers. He had 9 swings on. He had one whiff. And 17 sliders he threw today. I mean, that's, you know, you need that more split finger, four seamer heavy than having to try and trick people. Now, good, he's a smart dude, and he's going to do what he has to do to retire 14 in a row give his team at least a chance.
Exactly.
But I'm going to get back to that. I ain't trying to be mean to Fluharty, but $240 million, Jeff, that's who you're bringing in to face their best hitter.
Yeah.
I mean, again, nobody can throw their hands in the air and yell and scream about them taking the starter out. How many times have we seen that? Everybody should be used to that.
Well, I mean, Juan
Soto. But it's about who you're bringing in.
Juan Soto was 8-for-15 lifetime against Kevin Gausman.
Yeah, I know you're not bringing Little in because you're losing, but that's what you got. Again, I know he's in the big leagues and you're going to throw him because you're losing and Barnes coming in because you're losing. I get it, but.
Yeah,
240 large, that's what you're bringing?
Every team has kind of white flag relievers when they come into the game.
2-0 on the road, though, against Soto. That's a tough white flag.
That's what I was going to say. Every team has those relievers, though. The guys that are going to pitch in garbage time. You shouldn't be using Mason Fluharty in that situation. And you know,
so you don't agree with the move?
No, I'm saying I agree with the move, but I don't agree with Mason Fluharty being my only option in the bullpen. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, they're not going to use Little down 2-0. Doesn't make any sense. They're using him with the lead. Yeah,
what I'm saying is this guy shouldn't be on the team. Is what I'm saying.
We're trying to be nice about this, but absolutely, absolutely. I know people are going to make a big deal of taking Gausman out. Go for it. We're used to seeing that. It's just the fact of who's running out of the bullpen to face Soto.
But you know, again, we've talked about this big payroll team, and there's a lot of odds and ends here that
don't add up sometimes.
No,
they don't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Having said that, Kevin Barker, this offense was.
It's the big three. Mentioned this on our show today. Coming into this thing, you go on the road. You're starting to face some good teams. You're getting the Mets. You're getting the Red Sox. You know, you're getting the Orioles on the road. You know, it ain't going to be the middle 4, 5, and 6 that's going to take you where you need to go. It's 1, 2, and 3. And for the most part this season, they haven't shown up. And that's the thing, right? So, You know, it's a lot to ask. It's a lot to ask Jimenez and Kirk to be run producers. You know, they're overmatched in the sixth inning. And can you blame them? No. Like, that's...
Reed Garrett's awfully good.
Oh, he's filthy. He's filthy. But that's getting back to the point of, you know, you're stacking them three dudes together, if you're John Schneider, which makes, I guess, perfect sense until maybe they get Varsho back and you can sort of mix and match. And maybe then you put Santander in the cleanup spot and Vladdy in the 3-0 and... You can do some different things that way. It's just, you know, some of the at-bats, Bo looks a little big to me. He doesn't have to be that way. Like, Bo's not a home run hitter.
Today.
Yeah, he's not a home run hitter. I mean, he gets too big. O-O's not time to get big. And Santander keeps chasing the elevated fastball. Like, it's the thing. Like, this is the big leagues. You have a hole. It's obvious. Anybody can see it. I'm seeing it sitting in Toronto. The Mets are going to see it. So,
yeah, that's second at bat for Santander. He pops up on that pitch that's like way, way down.
Yeah, and he just missed the homer in his last at bat. You know, again, it's early, but just seeing big picture, what they don't have, what they need to get from those three guys, the start they've gotten off to. I mean,
let's face it, their last chance at this game was in the sixth inning. Bo lines out to the third baseman. Guerrero walks. Santander walks. Reed Garrett comes in.
Filthy.
Strikes out Jimenez.
Yeah.
Strikes out Kirk. Kirk's got no chance.
Well, you can tell why the last couple of years he's had some issues offensively. He knows like he break a ball. Like, you can tell that. You go look at numbers. Numbers will back that up, right? That's why they've made sort of the adjustment by leg kicking and being a little smoother, having the easier separation. It's easier to coil when you start open. Leg kick, it just sort of does it for you. You don't have to think about the actual coil, which makes it easier to have better direction, maximize bat speed, and all the things it would take for you to slug to the pull side, what they're trying to get him to do. But you can sort of tell. It's just a lot to ask, Jeff. You know, and again, it is when you pencil on the road that guy's name in the cleanup spot, and then he comes up in the sixth inning. It's run producing time. It's hard to do that. It's why you pay these guys tons of money to go to good teams and do it, because it's hard to do.
416-413-3959, the back leg line. Leave your name and location. You've got a comment in today's game. You want to talk about Vladdy. The reason I mentioned Vladdy, who did get two hits today, Mike Rodriguez, a Chicago-based baseball reporter, who has – he's had – broken a few stories. A lot of people have been all over the place on Vladdy in the past month. You know, he's almost going to sign, close to signing. Well, he has reported that the sides, Vladdy and the Blue Jays, are closing in on a contract worth more than $500 million, which, you know, people have been saying for the last 2 weeks. But and not to take anything away from Mike, but I'm saying everybody's been saying that for the past 2 weeks, and as Mark Shapiro would tell you, nothing's close until it's done. Although it would be a hoot if the Jays were to get a deal done while they're in New York with Vladdy. That would be a hoot.
I think it'd be a hoot if they sign him. I'm gonna stay in that camp.
Probably the best way to look at it. By the way, if you're interested, Kevin Gausman has made 292 career starts. That's the fifth time that he hasn't struck anybody out.
Find that split, boy. It's going to be tough.
Trevor in Toronto. You're on Blue Jays Talk. What's up, Trevor?
Just have a couple of comments. One, I think the Blue Jays continue to use analytics too much. The second point, or second comment, I think the Blue Jays need an upgrade at third base. And if you were the GM, how would you feel about trading an Addison Barger, a Jory Loperfido, maybe someone else, for, say, a Ryan McMahon of the Colorado Rockies?
Yeah.
Absolutely, Trevor.
Yeah, I mean,
1,000%.
Yeah, if Colorado – well, I mean, I was going to say Colorado wouldn't do it, but Colorado's a pretty dumb team and a pretty bad organization.
But the owner does love his guys. Like, the guys that he signs, he loves them. He does.
But, yeah, Ryan –
he don't like trading them.
Ryan McMahon's a guy we talked about for a couple of years as being
– no question.
Does that solve
– it helps.
It helps.
Yeah.
Does he qualify as your missing
somebody
something?
Somebody else don't have to. Absolutely, it helps. Yeah. But it ain't happening.
Hey, how long, if this continues with Anthony Santander, do you stick with Bichette, Guerrero, Santander? You know, like we talked about, you're right. Dalton Varsho comes back and you end up, he can make a move. Right now, I'd put Jimenez hitting second. I mean, Bichette, Jimenez, Guerrero, Santander.
Yeah, I think the holes for Santander at this moment are obvious and easy to attack. For me, until he actually starts laying off of that, working counts just a little bit more, forcing the good pitchers down, would it matter if he's hitting fourth?
The only difference would be
Vladdy would be hitting third.
His preferred spot.
Absolutely.
And at this point, Vladdy got two singles, but I'd like to see.
They're eight games in. Let's not.
But exactly. They're eight games in, but
it's not like they're oozing out the pores of their organization with better options. I think that's what John's telling everybody. Yeah. And he's, and I've said this, the separation between the three and the fourth guy. Now, I knew those other guys have gotten off to really good starts, but still the separation's really big. So do you want to give somebody else one more bat than any of those three? That's the thing you got to ask yourself.
Right now, do I want Jimenez to have one more bat than Santander? Yeah, right now, yeah, why not? Let's see what happens the rest of this. This will be
nine more games on the road. Yeah. Then you might
adjust. Then we'll have an idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we'll have an idea.
Yeah.
But, as you've always said about Anthony Santander, two things. One, he's a slow starter.
Mm-hmm.
Two, when it comes in bunches.
He takes big daddy hacks. Takes a little while to get the big daddy in the line with the hacks.
We spend so much time crapping on this guy.
Who?
That I do want to throw George Springer, give him some kudos
half
here.
Half of us do.
Yeah, you do too. You do too. I say the stuff that you think.
You do?
That's the difference between us.
Oh, okay.
I say the stuff
sure
that
you
think.
Do. I never say any of that.
I say the stuff that you think. George Springer, a triple, a single, and
why don't you move him up to the cleanup spot or to the two hole or the leadoff spot?
Yeah, let's just
play the hot hand.
Let's leave old Georgie where he is right now.
Oh, well, you were wanting to toot his horn and
I will say
tell everybody how good he's doing.
I will say this. Francisco, and this isn't to criticize George, but it's to state a fact.
Yeah.
Francisco Lindor's leadoff double. He's out at second if Dalton Varsha's in center field.
Yeah, Jimenez, I don't think there's anything else he could have done trying to tag there.
No,
it didn't look to me like he was reaching for the arm, just a better slide. You have a little stronger arm in the outfield and Varsha, probably get it there a little sooner. Maybe you could, I'm forcing the slider to slide into my glove instead of, sort of playing that merry-go-round thing and trying to, just hopefully slides into the glove when you're sort of trying to force the slide.
Greg in Hamilton. What's up, Greg?
Greg.
Oh, I forgot. It's a voice note. There's no point.
How come the Blue Jays are keeping Ernie Clement in the lineup? I understand he had a good hit, almost had a home run, but I don't understand when we can have other players in the lineup that are going to do a little bit more damage than him versus what we have.
Who?
Yeah, appreciate the call, Greg. Who? Will Wagner?
I mean, that
Davis Schneider?
Didn't they get everybody in the lineup they wanted to get in against the righty?
I would think so.
Who else is left?
I would think so. Ernie Clement is the best defensive third baseman they have right now. And he's the best third baseman they have right now. And that's, is it optimal? Well, we've talked about this. Ernie Clement's, I think his best asset is as a utility guy. But again, $250 million payroll, there's a lot of plan Bs. There's at least two or three plan Bs.
It is super tough to come on these shows. And if you're a fan of the Blue Jays, to be poking the finger and pointing the finger at the 24th, 25th, 26th guy on a baseball team. It's not Ernie Clement's fault. He's starting at third base for the Toronto Blue Jays.
I
think everybody's got to remember.
But the caller wasn't blaming Ernie Clement. He's asking the question, why is Ernie Clement starting? I think is a fair question.
Well, there, who else?
No, but I'm saying, do you think Ernie Clement is a third baseman on a team that goes to the World Series?
Absolutely not.
All right, well, that's the caller's point.
Well,
that's what the caller's point is. He didn't say anything about,
Fluharty coming in, pitching to the other team.
You're making it sound like the caller
hitter.
Was ripping on Ernie Clement. He wasn't. He just doesn't thinks you need to be better at third base. And, I don't have a problem with that. Ernie Clement's anybody's, anybody's. I know people in this city fall. We always fall in love with bench guys in this city, right? We always fall in love with the blue collar guys in Toronto. We just always do. Hockey, baseball, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's the Tao of Davis Schneider or the Tao of John McDonald. Like, we just fall in love with blue collar guys.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
Munenori, Kawasaki. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Now, early in the season, though, you pay a bunch of money, you stack three dudes in a row to get them the most at bats. Point the finger at them.
Tim in London.
With Gosman's struggles today, obviously not striking anyone out, and he's in, I think he has one more year after this year in his deal, and Bassett has, this is last year in this deal. So what do you guys see as the next options for Blue Jays pitching in the next couple of years? Obviously, their pitching staff's going to look a lot different. Not a lot in their system. Are they going to continue to spend money on starting pitching?
They better.
Tim, that's a great question. Their top pitching prospect right now is a guy named Trey Savage. Given this team's track record with minor league pitchers, I just want him to stay healthy because this team does not do a good job. This organization doesn't do a good job of keeping their minor league pitchers healthy. Nope. And I mean, they've admitted that. They've made changes in that area.
Yep.
I don't know how close Trey Savage is. But beyond that, they got a bunch of guys that are hurt.
Yep.
You know, and rehabbing. Alec Manoah, you like to think that he'll come back at some point. But beyond that, you've also got to keep in mind, Jose Barrios has an opt-out clause coming up at some point. So, I think there are organizations that take the approach of, we will go out and spend money on starting pitchers, get veteran starters in here, guys who've probably already gone through the first Tommy John.
Yeah.
We'll try to develop position players. We'll spend money on starting pitchers. I actually like that.
Me too.
I don't mind that because, you get the guy after he's done his first Tommy John or whatever. You get a guy who's a little older. But the caller's point is well made. You need at least one more Bowden Francis.
Well, you got to hit a home run on somebody.
You've got to hit a home run on somebody. Maybe Trey Savage is the guy you hit a home run.
He's an older guy. He's, he understands, I think, who he is as a pitcher, what he's trying to do. I think he'd probably be the next in line. Hopefully we see him sooner than later. Hopefully they don't do whatever they've been doing to guys, and which would allow them to not pitch. So hopefully we see him soon.
590-590 is our text line. Let's go to the text from Mike in Victoria. Big Vladdy fan. I think that should be Big Vladdy fan, but forget the big new contract. He isn't earning this year's salary. I know he will be good, but will he be great? That is the million-dollar question. I'm not certain anybody knows yet whether he will be great. I'm not certain that matters because of where he is as a free agent and the focus, the amount of focus on him put on him by this fan base. Will he be great?
Define great. What's great?
Well, Mark Shapiro got a lot of grief when he was asked if Vladdy was a generational player, and he kind of skirted around it and, said generational player is a Hall of Fame. I don't know if Vladdy's a generational player. See, I didn't rip on Mark for that because Mark was being honest. If someone had asked me, is Vladdy a generational player? I would have gone, I don't know. I think of generational players. I think of Soto. Is he Soto? No.
Judge?
Yeah, he's not Judge. Otani's a generational player. Trout,
When healthy?
I don't know. Is he, no disrespect, is he Yordan Alvarez? Very good player. Generational player? So I think Mark got a lot of grief for that. But to the caller's point, people aren't not going to pay Vladdy as a free agent because they don't think they – because they're trying to decide whether he's great or good. Vladdy's going to get $500 million as a free agent because he's a 26-year-old dude who a lot of people think will hit a lot of home runs. Mm. And you know what? It's also timing. There's two guys in the market this year that can be difference makers, Kyle Tucker and him.
Yeah.
There's two guys in the market. If you're a team and you crap out on Kyle Tucker or you crap out on Vladdy, those are going to be your top two choices. And people don't realize this enough with free agency. It's all about timing. Like Pete Alonso, it's all about timing. Pete Alonso's a free agent a year earlier. Maybe he gets more money, right?
Yeah.
It just depends. So whether Vladdy's good or great doesn't matter. The point is he's going to be a, 26 or 27-year-old free agent.
It might matter to the Jays. whether he's good or great. Look, they've said it with who they're putting around him.
It doesn't matter who they're putting around him
to have a good year. If you believe in protection, got a healthy Bo, you got a Santander who's been hitting a bunch of homers. You would think when Santander gets hot and Bo's getting on base all the time, that the dude stacked between those two guys should benefit from that. So, you know, I think people are asking, if you want this amount of money, show everybody that you're worth it. There's nothing wrong with saying that, is there?
I mean, yeah, but
you're saying he's going to get it because of how old he is. And there's nobody really else on the market.
Yeah, but
they're going to give it to.
That's what matters every year. Like, we have this argument, this discussion
it's not
every
an
year.
Argument.
We have this discussion every year. Well, he's not going to get every year. Those guys get more money than you think they're going to get.
Nobody thought Soto was going to get what he got. And he got it. Nobody thought. No, didn't even think that. $700, baby.
Kevin.
65.
Kevin.
You're crazy.
When you get to $600 million or $650, which most people thought he was going to get.
Yeah.
That isn't a big jump from $650 to $700 or over $700 when you've got a guy that owns the Mets. That's not a big jump. You're not going to get any value in the free agent market when you go after a big free agent. He's always going to get more than what you think he's going to get.
Well, I would think if you're Vladdy's camp, they're hoping you're right.
They know I'm right.
Okay.
He's going to get 500 accidentally.
Yeah.
He's going to get 500 accidentally.
Right. Yeah, I have
416-413-3395. Yes, you do. 416-413-3959 is the back leg line. 590-590 is the text line. We're going to say adios to our friends on Sportsnet. We'll be back on Fan 590. We'll take a break. Back with more Blue Jays talk with Blair and Barker. All right, we are back on Sportsnet 590 The Fan with the continuation of Blue Jays talk right up to the top of the hour. The Blue Jays 5-0 losers to the New York Mets. And Kevin Gausman making the start. No strikeouts, the fifth time in 292 career starts for Kevin Gausman. He retired 14 in a row, gave up a leadoff walk to Francisco Lindor. And at that point, Mason Fluharty came in and the game got away from the Blue Jays. But in fairness to the Blue Jays pitchers, who managed one strikeout all afternoon, really odd. Mm-hmm. The Jays didn't do them any favors offensively as well. Ernie Clement hits that home run in the seventh inning. Ball's foul. And Barker's saying, Kevin Barker was sitting here saying, because Ernie runs around the bases
around.
And we could tell as soon as the ball was hit, everybody's saying, gee, that looked foul to us. So Ernie has to run around the bases,
comes back, and then
goes to review,
yeah,
and it's not a home run.
That's terrible.
It is terrible. You felt bad for him.
I did. I felt awful for him. I looked at you and I actually said, have you ever seen that before? Have you ever seen a guy?
I think I probably have.
Run all the way around the bases.
I mean, if the umpire makes the twirling finger sign, you got to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, the umpire blew the call.
Absolutely. I mean, it looked to me like it was obvious.
Barker said he would have punched him in the back if he was playing. If I got to run around the bases and look like a horse's what,
What did I say when he walked to the plate? I said he has no chance of getting a hit. You are swinging at it as soon as it leaves his hand. Yep. What did he do? He swung at it as soon as it left his hand. That's exactly the way it's supposed to look.
Let's go to Curtis from Tabor, Alberta.
My comment is about the lack of home run production. How much of it do you think is early season woes, and how much do you think of it is the same old garbage as last year? Instead of Santander, who did we have last year? Oh, I can't even remember. But the end result was the same. We don't hit enough home runs, and we gave up one today again.
Well, I mean, yeah, they aren't hitting home runs.
No. I think it's a little both.
Might be a tough park to get off that to break out of that too.
Yeah, I think sometimes you got to give credit to the other team too. The pitchers that they were seeing today weren't awful. They were pretty good. No, they were adding subtracting.
Well, listen, the Mets bullpen is deep and good.
Well, McGill's breaking ball too was legit, right? The elevated heater coming following the breaking balls that he had. That was pretty good too.
Garrett's just scary, filthy.
Again, the length of the lineup 1 through 9, it's just a lot to ask.
Yeah.
You know, and now that you're giving Kirky all that money, you're asking him to hit you 15, 18. Capable of that? We'll see. Mm. They're going to have to, I think. I just don't know how you consistently get them on, get them over, get them in without hitting homers. That's, you know, how did the Mets win today? Pete Alonso hit a two-run homer, and after that, they just added on runs because that's basically what good playoff lineups do is they wear pitchers down, and they hit bad pitching. And that's what happened. So, you know, again, I think we should let it play out a little bit. Let's see what it looks like when the top three guys are all hot at the same time. And I really do think that's going to happen sooner than later.
Let's take a look around Major League Baseball with Bet365. At Bet365, you can watch thousands of live games, build your own bet, and can even make a bet while the game's still being played. 19+, play responsibly, Ontario only. The New York Yankees are putting it to the Pittsburgh Pirates.
No, really?
No home runs. The Torpedo Bats.
No.
Doing their thing in Pittsburgh. The Athletics up 3-2 in Colorado. Seattle and San Francisco, they are tied at fives in the fifth inning. Other finals, the Cubs beating the Padres 3-1. Don't look now, but the Boston Red Sox are starting to hit.
Hmm.
Beating the St. Louis Cardinals 13-9, and Detroit beat the Chicago White Sox 7-4. So there you go. The Red Sox, they're starting to hit some home runs.
Well, they got a good team.
It's going to come.
They're balanced on all sides. They catch the ball. You know, they're going to be right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just taking a look here at who may have gotten home runs for the Red Sox. Trevor Story, Willie Abreu had home runs. They've been on fire. Actually, Story got two home runs.
Man,
Abreu was off to a really good start. So there you go. The Red Sox are the next opponents for the Jays in on this road trip. Mitch and Aurelia reached out to us.
Third base seems to be a hole for you, and it seems like a third baseman is kind of disgruntled in Boston. Would there be any possible scenario you guys be okay with a Devers for Guerrero trade or any sort of deal between the two teams?
I mean, it wouldn't work because Guerrero's eligible for free agency. The only way that would work, I would think, if the Red Sox were given some sort of window of opportunity to negotiate an extension. Yeah. Here's the way I look at it. How am I going to explain this? If I think Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is definitely going.
Yeah.
I mean, I almost think I have to entertain a trade possibility.
Wow.
There's no
way they're doing it.
There's no way they're not. No. But I'm saying I guess it depends on how you look at it. See, this organization, everything Mark Shapiro said is that they think they can sign the guy. And they're waiting. They want to know what the market will pay Vladdy. That seems to be the heart of this whole thing. The only way you're going to find that out is in free agency. But, yeah, in a perfect world, I mean, I'll put it this way. Run it back 2 years ago.
Yeah.
If we're having that discussion, I'm probably looking at it. But I got to figure out a way, not one for one, not even up. There's got to be some other.
That'd be involved. A tough sell. He's not too far removed from the 2015 season where he come runner up in the MVP. That'd be a tough sell. Look, would you want Devers on your team? Without a doubt. I don't care how he catches the ball at third. Him hitting third, fourth,
second. Could I have them both in the same
leadoff? Yeah. I mean, perfect case scenario.
Yeah.
That would help. I mean, teams that are legitimately trying to win World Series have lots of good players on their team. Yeah. Jeff, have you noticed that?
I have noticed that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's perfect case scenario. You did a good job of working through that.
I'm just so tired of it. I'm talking about Vladdy.
It's getting tougher and tougher. I mean, it'd be easier to talk about it if he was
become
raking.
A distraction.
Well, he needs to rake. As long as you're distracted.
Did you hear the ovation he got today?
I don't care.
The Mets fans?
No, yeah. Him and Jimenez, right?
Yeah, well, Jimenez used to be with the Mets. But did you hear the ovation he got? Yeah, until it gets done, we're going to be talking about it. It's awfully quiet. What we have is Mark Shapiro saying he thinks it's going to get done. We know the agents were in town meeting with Mark and the people above Mark. And we also know that it's, other than these reports that, I mean, this is like the sixth report that said Vladdy's close to coming to an extension.
That's why I can't even believe you read it.
Well,
the
guy has a bit of a track record of being right. And, you know, why not? I mean, is he definitely wrong? Probably not. It's been close for 2 months or for 2 weeks. Is it going to be close Monday? Probably. Going to be close Wednesday? If I wrote that Vladdy and the Jays are close,
yeah,
you know?
You wouldn't be wrong, probably.
But, and the other thing is when it's quiet, that usually means this organization's up to something.
I ask you a dumb question. Take pressure off the organization or the front office if they sign Vladdy when it comes to winning, putting fannies in the seats at the Rogers Center. Yes or no? Or do you think people are past that and they want to see winning?
I think people want to see winning. I don't think they believe this front office could make the team better without Vladdy. There. If the fans thought that these guys had gone to the playoffs 4 years in a row and had a playoff, not even a World Series win, but a playoff win, and they were going to the public, you know what, we're trying to get Vladdy signed, it's going to be hard. But you know what? If we don't get him signed, hey, we've got a lot of money. We're going to go out and try to add, and we can make up for Vladdy.
You know us. We'll get it done.
We'll get it done. Yeah, that's the crux of this whole issue.
Yeah.
Is nobody thinks they can make the team better next year without Vladdy.
Fair. Good job.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. Nobody thinks they can make the team better next year without Vladdy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think because I've said I do believe that winning teams sell seats. Star players don't necessarily fill the seats. They don't necessarily sell tickets. People want to come out to see a winner. People will buy the star player thing for 1 year, maybe.
A lot of people think even if they don't hit homers, they're a good enough team to win 85 games.
Well, some people pick them to make the playoffs. Dwayne from New Brunswick.
How long before they send down David Snyder and bring up Addison Barger? They basically do the same job. Barger seems to have a little more upside.
Yeah, he can play third too a little bit.
Yeah, lefty hitter though. I mean, they got enough lefty.
They're past that, Jeff. I mean, just because you go up there and stand right-handed, don't warrant you staying on a big league roster. That's I think where they're at with Davis. And you know how I feel about Davis. I hate coming on here talking bad about him. You know, we're bros.
Well, if he wasn't a righty hitter, I don't think he would have made the team out of spring training.
No. Well, he had a good spring.
I still don't think it matters. Handedness is his biggest strength. It's handedness is his only strength right now.
He's put in a tough spot. Like, you know, it's hard enough for these dudes to play every day and hit. You sitting over there for a couple of days, and then you come off that bench, and you're facing a dude throwing a contributing miles an hour.
How would you use Addison?
Who cares? However.
No, but I mean, how would you use him?
I'd play him at third against a righty.
You wouldn't play Wagner at third against a righty?
I'd DH him. It's like they did
today.
Well,
then what are you going to do with Santander? At some point, you're going to have to DH him.
I'd put him in right field. Yeah, I'd put him in left field. I mean, the way they're doing it now, you don't like to DH anyway.
I mean, I don't think that Addison Barger.
I think if Addison does well down there, they'll find a spot for him. I mean, if he starts thumping some baseballs to the moon.
Well, I mean, if they keep.
Get him an Uber.
If they keep small ball in their way to through games, and there's a guy down on the minors crushing baseballs. See, why not?
The next nine games, because of who they're facing and the lineups that can score the runs that the lineups can score that they're about to face, we're going to find out on the road if this thing's going to work or not.
Yes, we.
Okay. All the people that love to get them on and bunt them over, and, you know, hopefully Kirky rolls over to one in the hole and the guy scores, we're going to see if that works.
Yeah. Both of us have maintained for months that this team was one more hitter shy. Nothing through spring training or through the regular season has changed my mind.
Yeah, I don't think it's because of lack of effort. I mean, the words that I got, and I think they tried to bring in another thumper.
But the other
thumpers didn't want to come here.
Yeah, but you still
can
need
only
them.
Offer.
You still need.
Well, absolutely. They're one short. Jimenez should never be hitting cleanup.
No.
Ever.
Rick and Barry.
My question is regarding Bichette. Obviously, in today's game, he looked like he was trying to swing for the fence every single bat at bat.
This is for you, Kevin.
Now, my question is he trying to show that he's more of a power hitter so that way he can sign a bigger contract at the end of this season? Or do you believe he was just trying to go for the big hit to try and get some numbers on the board? Just curious how you guys think, whether it's a year-end thing or he's just trying to change his perception. Not sure, but I'm just curious what you guys think. Thanks.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
it's
that's
all,
a great call.
I think it's all the above. I think, you know, he's trying to get paid. I think he's trying to show people that he can, you know, hit 25, hit 40 doubles, drive in 100 runs, play shortstop every day, play 162 games, you know, in certain counts, do things that he needs to do to the pull side. I don't think he has to. I think he's a good enough hitter. If he stays squared, use the lower half the way he uses it when he's hitting the ball all over the field really, really hard, he won't have to do all those things. So I think the caller made a great point. I think it's all the above. I think he's a human being. I think the year he came off last year, I think he feels like he's got something to prove. So, yeah, I think they're – and I said this, and I said it to you, and I said it on our show, and I've said it on this show. He doesn't have to do that. He's a good hitter. Borderline great hitter when he's rocking and rolling, and that two-strike approach separates him from most, and he can hit 300, and he have 200 hits, and he can hit 25 because we've seen it. We've seen him drive in 100 runs. We've seen all of those take place. When's the last time you saw him doing those things with as many Big Daddy hacks as we've seen the last three or four games? It's not.
No.
So why do it? That's the thing. I think he's working through it. Hopefully he realizes that he don't have to, and he'll get back to just being that really, really good Bo Bichette hitter who does mechanically sound things that most can't consistently, and get back to that guy who can be what the Blue Jays need him to be, because, man.
Yeah, well, and you know, you've also got to remember, Bo also wants to get paid. And,
no question.
And Bo realizes no one's talking about him getting $500 million.
Yeah.
And he's coming off a year in which he was hurt. So, yeah, see, I think, frankly, I think there's more pressure on Bo this year than there is on Vladdy in a lot of ways. Vladdy's going to get his coin. Vladdy's going to get his money. Bo probably will too. But I think there's more pressure on Bo than there is on Vladdy.
Optically, maybe. I mean, the way last year ended, the way he looked when he was playing.
Yeah.
You know, just where they're putting him in the lineup, what they're asking him to do. Like, there's a lot of pressure on all three of them guys. Look, them three guys are on that bus probably right now.
They're
thinking to themselves, man alive, we don't do this. You know what? And it ain't going to get done.
And the other thing with Bo, too, is there still seems to be this perception around the game that he's not a good defender.
I think that's gone.
No, I think it's wrong.
I think it is.
But if you listen to other broadcasts, it's remarkable how often the other team's broadcaster will say, well, you know, something effect that, well, the question with Bo has always been his defense.
Yeah.
And that I think is still out there. And I think Bo is still aware of that.
Yeah.
I think Bo's aware that I guarantee you if he becomes a free agent next year, you know, the first question teams are going to be asking his agents.
Putting him at second.
Do you think he'll change position?
I'm sure he would if he's been paid like a shortstop.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but Bo knows all this. He's paid like a shortstop. I play wherever you want me to play. He knows all this.
Yeah.
And
that's
so,
probably broadcast don't watch Bo on an everyday basis, too.
No, but I think there's more pressure on him than Vladdy because, you know, nobody's talking about him. Let me put it to you this way. 4 years ago, if I had told you that Bo would be in his final year before free agency and there would literally be no talk about this team's interested in Bo Bichette, this team, he'd be a good fit here. I mean, there's no talk about that. It hasn't even been in spring training.
Yeah.
I understand everybody's fixated on Vladdy, but 4 years ago, if I'd said to you that Bo was going to be, you know, you'd be saying, hey, there'd be teams looking at this guy. I mean, and I find it odd that there's just no discussion about it.
All right.
And I'm sure Bo realizes that too.
Yeah.
There's no discussion about his, there's no discussion in this marketplace. We're the only ones that talk about maybe you should sign Bo.
Yeah.
You hear anybody else talking about it on a regular basis?
Yeah. Not really.
Mike in Scarborough has the last call.
I was just wondering what you guys were thinking about them letting go of Ryan Yarbrough and keeping Flew Hardy and can't remember the other guy, the other lefty they already let go. And how about third base, giving Addison Barger a chance?
There it is.
There you go.
I mean, Clemens had his chance, but Addison Barger, you know he can do it. So, thanks.
Yeah, Mike, you know, the thing I do want people to, you know, defensive metrics are really kind to Ernie, too. Ernie's a better defensive, I think, a better defensive third baseman than anybody else.
I don't think people care anymore.
They don't, but I'm saying, you know who does.
Well,
you know who does care about it. And I'm saying that you know, that's a factor. You know, the Yarbrough thing, it didn't have anything to do with Mason Fluharty. That was all, what do we do with the Ariel Rodriguez? Richard Lovelady. I mean, there were a bunch of things that went in there. And I also think that, you know, I wonder if maybe Ryan Yarbrough just didn't kind of look around and go, you know, maybe the Yankees want me. Maybe it's time I'm going to take what's definite.
Yeah, maybe. I think he wanted to pitch. And I'm not sure because of Yarbrough Rodriguez, he thought he was going to pitch the way he wanted to pitch. You know, they're married to that dude. Like, I mean, it just...
Whereas the Yankees are dying...
Everybody I talk to is just... They're trying to sell me on how great this guy is. We watch the same game everybody else watches. I mean, it's very hard to buy into a guy who don't throw enough strikes. It's very hard. Hey, look, does he have stuff? Does he throw hard? Everybody throws hard. Can he get a good lefty out or a runner on second and two outs? That's the thing you got to ask yourself. So, I don't know. I think that Ryan thing, that's why...
Yeah,
see you later.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't want to make a big deal about the stolen bases today either because the game was out of hand by then. But you know what? If you're going to be pitching in leverage for me as a reliever, you've got to at least be aware of dudes on the bases.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like that's those fine margins that John Schneider. Yeah, it's kind of. Yeah.
Yeah,
he's not a 21-year-old guy. I mean, if Mason Fluharty is trouble holding runners or whatever, you kind of roll your eyes. This is Ariel Rodriguez.
Yeah, you could tell the khakis had told, you know, Soto and Lindor, you get on base, guy ain't going to pay attention to you. He's more worried about throwing strikes. He has trouble doing that. Run until you can't run anymore.
That kind of pissed me off. You know? Yeah. I mean, it didn't have anything to do with the end of the game, but if I'm trying to show you that I deserve to pitch in leverage, I want to – I want to clean it up. I want to be as clean as possible. I want to pay attention.
Yeah,
to
I think
details.
There's some people that are wondering if he's a big leaguer or not.
Yeah.
And every time he goes out there, people want to see it. They want to see him look and act and throw like a big leaguer, make adjustments on the mound, quick like a big leaguer. How many times do you see that? I know he got out of it and didn't give up a run, but I mean that's like basically every time he goes out there, it's a 20 pitch outing. I mean, can you continue to do that? You know, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, and there will come a time where, 97 is not going to cut it. Like you know what I mean? Right now we're seeing the 97. You kind of think, wow, I mean, if you can harness that, yada, yada. Well, you know what? There will come a point where we'll just go, 97, but you can't harness it.
Yeah.
Like that only carries you for a while if you can't command the pitch. Then 97 is irrelevant against good hitters.
Yeah.
Because they're just
going to. Be interesting to see when Swanson gets back how it looks down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody's going to be the odd guy out, right? It's, you know, Fluharty's of the world, I'm sure, be the obvious choice.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to give Yariel every advantage and opportunity known to man. But there will be more competition down there for the highest leverage innings. Because Swanson, they believe in that guy, right? They believe he can get a lefty out.
Yeah.
So?
We have not talked about this guy, but what did you think of Tyler McGill today?
Yeah, look, I think he's advertised. Like then I said to you, how did he not make the team? Like that's the guy you're sending now.
There's three times. I mean, there's basically been three times in his career where they've been, well, we'll send him now. No, actually we won't. He's only made the team because of injuries.
I can work quadrants with my fastball, with movement.
I know one
power,
team he could start
and
for.
I can spin the breaking ball and the slider.
Yeah.
And I can throw a lefty slider too. Yeah, absolutely. Like I mean, he's a tough get. That bullpen's good. You can see why the Mets are third. Sort of the end the conversation in the East. Like they got a good team. And then Soto sooner or later going to get smoking hot.
And
you're looking, you get that dude hot, Lindor hot at the same time. Who's got the better three?
Oh, not
Mets
even,
or Blue Jays?
Oh, not even close. Mets.
Not even close.
No. I mean, what? You got Soto, one of the best hitters of his generation. Alonso, that home run was something. And he's locked in this year. So you got Alonso and Lindor. I mean, do you think it's close?
Well, I wasn't
Lindor,
say it.
Soto,
I
and Alonso.
I wanted you to say it.
Not close. Not close. They got two dudes who are probably going to go to the Hall of Fame in there. Not close. I mean, am I wrong? Am I wrong?
If you're a Jays fan, you're hoping you're a little wrong. It's not as extreme as you're making it out to be. As through eight games, you have a valid point.
I would have
your argument's strong,
Kevin. If you had said this to me 2 years ago, I would have said yes.
Two years ago,
even more so because Pete Alonso was better 2 years ago. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
You don't. Do you think there is any team in baseball that would swap Bichette, Guerrero, Santander, even up for Lindor, Soto, and Alonso?
I didn't say that.
That's how you have to look at it. That's not even an argument.
So you're saying that three will take them further into the playoffs than the Jays' big three?
Well, two of those three took them further into the playoffs last year than the Jays, too, didn't they? Unless I was watching some other team.
You weren't.
Yo, I really like his Vientos on that team.
Yeah. As long as he hustles down the first baseline.
Yeah.
But
I liked that. But Alonso, you know, we talked to Tim Britton yesterday of The Athletic. He looks really locked in.
Look, his bat's gotten a little slower. I think that was the sort of.
And it's early.
Yeah, it is. But again, I mean, late in games against power pitchers, using the entire field, bat speed's not everything. Dudes who know how to hit homers, that's a big deal. Like, that is a giant deal. You know, to take a breaking ball and hit that thing to right center for a three-run homer against a setup guy who throws a bazillion. I mean, who wouldn't want that on their team?
Yeah. So anyhow, there you are. The first of a three-game series, first of a long road trip in the books for the Blue Jays. They have lost 5-0 to the New York Mets.
Must win tomorrow.
I mean weather looks dodgy the next couple of days, by the way. So, you know, who knows where
at least it wasn't cold today. Didn't look cold anyway.
There are people in shorts.
Yeah.
And short sleeves.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised. You know, like, frankly, 2 days ago, we're looking at the radar, the weather. We're going, oh, they may not be able to get this in.
Wasn't great.
But at least they did. Anyhow, so game two is tomorrow. Game three is Sunday. Then it's on to Boston. Then it's on to Baltimore. As my friend Mr. Barker says, we will learn a great deal about that, the value of that 5-2 start in the next
just
10 games.
Come home against the Braves 10-7. Three games above 500. Everything will be roses.
Play 500 in this
round. That's all you got to do.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
And it is a tough early season road trip.
Well, that's why sweeping the Nationals is a big deal.
Yep. Yeah. It was a big deal. Anyhow, again, that's it for us. We will be back Monday with Blair and Barker, the usual time, 2 to 4 on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Alliston and Bolton. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986. So protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center or visit crown.com. Crown is Canada's number one rust protection.